Bible is God's word, and it's good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. If you did not know, this past week, we had vacation Bible school for the first time as a church, and it was awesome. There were a ton of kids, a ton of volunteers, and we got to teach the gospel to maybe some kids who would not hear it otherwise. And so would you just take a moment and join me in thanking the volunteers who made that happen. I don't know if this has ever happened to you before, but it seems to happen to me all the time. I will be in my car driving somewhere that I'm not super familiar with. Maybe it is a city that I have visited two or three times. Maybe it is an exit that I have taken off the interstate two or three times. Maybe it is a restaurant in a place that I don't really know that I've been to two or three times. And so what I do is when I'm planning to go there, I get out my phone and I put it in my maps and I let the GPS guide me to that place. And so it's good for a little while. But it seems like every single time I do this, something happens. I will be driving, and as I'm driving, I go, wait a minute, it's telling me to turn left here, but I'm pretty sure last time I was here, I turned right to get to this place. And I start to lose a little trust in my phone and my GPS. But then I go, it probably knows better than me, I'll just follow it. And inevitably, in about a few seconds, it'll say, in 200 feet, make a U-turn. Has this happened to you? Yeah, and when that happens, I go, you lying piece of silicone. I knew that this was the wrong way. I knew that you were guiding me to the wrong place. I knew that you were wrong and I was right. And I begin to lose trust in my phone for about 5 seconds. And then I'm like, well, I still have to get to this place. So my phone is going to have to take me there. And I trust it again. But it's really hard to trust my phone whenever I am lost, because I know that it doesn't always give me right instruction. It's hard to trust my phone when I am lost. Have you ever felt lost in life? And I don't mean like lost when you're trying to find that Chick-fil-A that you've never been to before. I mean like actually lost in life. Like maybe somebody close to you passed away and the hurt didn't seem to heal. It wasn't getting any better. And you felt lost. Or maybe you lost your job and you wondered what you were going to do next and how you were going to provide, and you felt lost. Or maybe you had a health scare that rocked your world and you weren't sure what your future would hold, and you felt lost. Maybe you made a decision that you thought was right, but then everything fell apart afterwards and you felt lost. Or maybe that relationship that you depended on ended suddenly, and you didn't know who to trust anymore, and you felt lost. Or maybe you had prayed and prayed and prayed for something, and it didn't work out the way that you wanted it to, and you felt lost. Or maybe you felt, or you were in a huge life transition, like graduation, or going off to school, or a move, or an empty nest, and you didn't know who you were anymore, and you felt lost. Now, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you come in here, and something is going on in your life, and you just feel lost. And because you're lost, it's hard to trust God. Well, today, as we continue our summer in the Psalms, we're looking at Psalm 25, verses 1 through 12. What we are going to see is how to trust God when you feel lost. How to trust God when you feel lost. There are three steps to trust. So let's start with the first step. How can you trust God when you feel lost? Number one, wait on God. Wait on God. I don't know about you, but I hated going to school. And some of you are like, Sean, thank you for being such a good role model to my children who are here with me. Okay, well, if you're in school, hey, keep going. It's going to be great. Try to find joy in it. But I was just not the type of kid who could sit still for very long. And especially in college, you had to sit through 2 hours worth of a lecture that you cared nothing about, taught by someone whose voice was less entertaining than, I don't know, Charlie Brown's teacher. You know, just that wah, 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 wah. It was brutal. Although, on a side note, my nap game in college was at an all-time high, one of the highlights of my life. But I had this one professor who was awesome. He was really engaging. He played football in college. In fact, he played football at Harvard. Yeah, some of you are like, what? I had no idea Harvard had a football team. Turns out they do. You know, when we think of Harvard, we think of the students playing chess, not tackling each other, but that's what he did. And then he had a career in the military, so he was the most interesting guy on campus by a mile, and he knew how to make lessons engaging. So he comes into class this one time, and he says, all right, break up into groups of four. So we get in our groups, and he says, here's the scenario. You are part of a moon exploration project, and as you were coming down to the surface of the moon, you crashed, and everybody's okay, but you can't use your vehicle anymore, and you have lost all communication with the mothership that is orbiting the moon and everybody else. Now, the good news is you have a compass, you have enough food, enough water, you have enough oxygen to last you 5 or 6 days. So here is the project. Figure out what you are supposed to do. In my group, we came up with an answer immediately. All these other groups, they were talking through it, and we took 20 seconds, and we had a plan. And here was our plan. We thought we should walk to this moon base. So he mentioned this. He said, there is a moon base that is 30 miles due west of you. And so we thought, all right, we'll walk to the moon base that is 30 miles west. Because we thought we were so clever. We thought that we were the only ones who picked up on the fact that he said we have a compass. So we came up with this plan. It seems logical, right? Walk 30 miles, that might take you a day and a half, 2 days. You have enough food, water, oxygen, and you have a compass. We thought we were the only clever ones in there. We thought we had a great plan. I mean, doesn't that sound like a good plan? You're going to find rescue when you get to this moon base where there are people. Doesn't that sound like a great plan? Okay, well, I hope that some of you think it was, because it would make me feel a lot better. My professor did not think that was a good plan. Here's what he said. He said, in a situation like this, the one thing that you do is wait. He said, you have crashed. You have lost all communication. Don't you think someone's going to come find you? And we answered his question with a question. He said, well, don't you think it was deceptive that you told us we have a compass and we're not supposed to use it? But he didn't answer that question. He didn't change our grade either. It was just what it was. I'll never forget what he said, though. There are situations where all you do is wait. And I have thought about that since then. Sometimes the best thing to do is wait. But I am just like you. We like to figure things out, right? We like to fix things. We like to get a plan together. We like to find the answers. When we feel lost, we chart a path forward. That's what we do. That's how we are wired. Because we don't like to wait. It's not natural for us. Waiting seems like a waste of time. Waiting seems like it's not going to actually work out. Waiting means that we are trusting in someone else instead of trusting ourselves, and we don't like that. Well, the guy who wrote Psalm 25 is named David, and he was facing a situation where he felt lost. Life was hectic. There were storms swirling around him. He needed guidance from God because he felt lost. And look at what he says. If you have your Bible open, Psalm 25, starting in verse 1. Lord, I appeal to you. My God, I trust in you. Do not let me be disgraced. Do not let my enemies gloat over me. No one who waits for you will be disgraced. Those who act treacherously without cause will be disgraced. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Now, we don't know exactly what's going on in David's life when he writes this. We know that he had a lot of enemies because he was the king of Israel. And he mentions these enemies in verse 1. He had people who wanted him dead. People in his family wanted him dead. People in his staff wanted him dead. People in his country wanted him dead. People outside of his country wanted him dead. David's life was like this giant game of Clue, right? But the answer when you get to the end could have been anyone at any time using anything because everyone wanted David dead. Or at least that's how he felt. His life was under attack. He didn't know what would happen. He didn't know if he would be alive tomorrow. He didn't know if he would be king tomorrow. He didn't know if he would be exiled tomorrow. So he needed guidance. He felt lost. And as he is feeling lost, he wants to trust God. He declares, hey, I do trust you, but I need help. And look what he says in verse 5, the very end of it. I wait for you all day long. As he feels lost, as he is trying to trust God, as he is struggling, he waits on God. You see, he's not just trying to figure everything out himself. He's not just trying to chart his own path. He's not trying to fix everything in his life. No, he is waiting on God. And that waiting helps him trust God, because waiting develops trust. When you wait on God, you are admitting that you don't have all the answers, but that he does. When you wait on God, you are choosing to trust his timing instead of your own plan. When you are waiting on God, it keeps you looking to God instead of relying on yourself. When you are waiting on God, you are saying, God, I believe you know what I need and when I need it. I trust you even though I don't see everything. When you wait on God, then you are shifting the focus off of your own strength and onto God's faithfulness. You see, waiting on God keeps you close to him, keeps you listening, depending, trusting, even when everything else feels uncertain. So as we wait, our trust in God gets deeper. How can you trust God when you feel lost? Wait on him. So I ask you this morning, are you waiting on God? When you feel lost, do you wait on him, or do you just start scrambling to find the duct tape and the super glue to fix everything? Well, here's what waiting on God looks like. When life goes sideways, your first move isn't to grab a whiteboard and chart out 10 ways to fix what has gone wrong. Instead, you hit your knees. You pray. You run to the one who already knows how everything ends. And instead of wearing yourself out making plans, you open your Bible and you ask God to speak to you. You spend time with him and believe what he says in his word. That's what it means to wait on God. How can you trust God when you feel lost? Wait on him. So that's the first step. But it's not the only step that we have to trust God. Here's the second step. Number two, remember God's love. If you want to trust God when you feel lost, remember God's love. I watched a movie one time. It was a romantic comedy. So I watched it not by choice, obviously. And this might be surprising, but this is what happened in the movie. The main guy meets the main girl and they start dating. And then eventually the main guy does something really dumb. And the main girl says something like, "You need to figure out where you are going in life." And that sends the main guy on this journey of self-discovery. And after he goes through some things, he comes back to the girl. And I know, this is a completely original story that you have never seen before. Unless you have ever watched any romantic comedy, because they are literally all the same. The guy comes back to the girl and he says something like, "You know what? You're right. I don't know where I'm going in life. And I feel lost. And I don't trust myself to figure it out. But all I know is that I love you." Right? And some ladies in here, you know, that really just makes your heart warm. But every guy in here just threw up in their mouth a little bit when they heard that, because it is so cheesy. Right? I mean, and makes you think, like, what does feeling lost and struggling to trust have to do with love? Well, again, David is the one writing this. And his future is very unclear. He might be dead soon because of all the enemies that he has. His future is uncertain. In some sense, he is lost. But look at what he says, starting in verse 6. "Remember, Lord, your compassion and your faithful love, for they have existed from antiquity. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my acts of rebellion. In keeping with your faithful love, remember me because of your goodness, Lord. The Lord is good and upright. Therefore, he shows sinners the way. As he is feeling lost, as he is struggling to trust God, David refers back to God's faithful love. And this is what he's showing us. In order to trust when you feel lost, you need to remember God's love. You need to remember God's love. And just like I felt when I was watching that romantic comedy, you might be going right now, but what does struggling to trust and what does feeling lost have to do with love? Now, how are those things related? And that's a good question. But if you think about it, all these things go together. And you know this because in your life, when you feel lost, it's easy to feel like God doesn't love you. You know what I'm saying? Like we think to ourselves, if God really loved me, then he wouldn't let me go through this. If God really loved me, then he would tell me the way forward. If God really loved me, then he would answer all my questions. If God really loved me, he would make clear what I am supposed to be doing right now. And what we begin to do is question if God really loves us or if he will just abandon us when we need him. Yeah, we want to trust God, but when we're lost, we don't feel God's love. We feel like God's love is absent. And that makes it really hard to trust. And so you need to remember God's love. This psalm tells us that his love has existed from antiquity. That means it's been around forever. And that's not just saying it's been around forever on the earth. It's saying it has been around forever in your life. Isn't that true? Haven't you experienced God's love in your life? Well, if you look back at your life and you see how God has loved you over and over and over again, if you remember his love, then you will trust him even when you feel lost. Because if he has been loving you all along, even when you went through that back there, even when you did that back there, if he has been loving you all along, then he will not stop now. He will not fail you now. He will not abandon you now. And as you reflect on his love, as you remember his love, you will begin to trust him more. How can you trust God when you feel lost? Remember his love. Have you ever been going through something in your life and you feel lost and you start to think, you know what, God is allowing me to go through this right now because some of the sins that I have committed in the past. You know, if I just would have been better, if I just would have been more faithful to God, if I just would have had more self-control, then God would not be allowing me to go through this right now. He would have protected me from this had I not done that thing way back then. Well, maybe that's what David is feeling. Maybe that thought has crossed his mind. Because look at what he says in verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my acts of rebellion. In keeping with your faithful love, remember me because of your goodness, Lord. You see, he acknowledges that he has sin in his past. He knows he has done terrible things, but he doesn't stick to that. He doesn't hold on to this idea of God remembering the sins of his youth. He doesn't just park it there and say, well, God just keeps tabs on all of the bad things that I have done so that he can hold it against me. That's not where David stops. No, he immediately appeals to God's faithfulness, to God's goodness, to God's unchangeable, unbreakable, unrelenting love. If you look back at your life, you will see that you have sinned in terrible ways. Your sin is big, but God's love is bigger. So remember God's love. I wonder if you come in here today and your past sins are haunting you. And they are spinning you around and you feel lost. Well, if that's you today, remember God's love. When you are weighed down by guilt, remember God's love. When you are drowning in regret, remember God's love. when you are crippled by shame, remember God's love. When these thoughts and feelings make you feel lost, remember God's love. And you will find that you begin to trust Him more and more and more. Have you ever had to walk in the dark before? I'm sure you have. You've done this. You're walking in the dark. You can't see anything in front of you. And so you're kind of using your hands to make sure nothing's in front of you. You're using your feet to make sure nothing is in front of you. Because you don't trust that next step. You know, you're trying to feel because you think that something might be in front of you. And if you take that next step, you might run into something or you might step on something. And if you're barefoot, it's definitely going to be a razor sharp Lego that was left there just for you. That's the story of my life. You don't trust that next step. And so as you are grappling in the dark, you feel your pockets and you remember you have your phone. So you pull your phone out and you turn the flashlight on. And that flashlight is not super bright. You can't see your entire path forward, but you can see enough to take your next step. You can see enough to trust the next step. It's exactly what remembering God's love is like. Yeah, you might not see the entire path forward. You might still feel lost because of whatever you are facing in life. But God's love, remembering His love, gives you the trust to take the next step. How can you trust God when you feel lost? Remember His love. So that's the second step to take. And then there is a third step this psalm gives us. How can you trust God when you feel lost? Well, number three, obey God. Obey God. If you're like me, you feel a little lost whenever you have to make a decision in life, especially if it's a big decision, because you're going, well, I better choose right or the rest of my life is going to be messed up. So you start feeling the weight of that. And what you're doing is you're trying to discern God's will. You're trying to figure out what God wants you to do. So you might ask God, what school should I go to? What job should I take? Who should I marry? Where should I move? What should I bring to the potluck next Sunday? You know, these are very big, very serious questions that you have, and some of you really need to think about that last one. When you have these big decisions, you might feel a little lost. So we're trying to figure out God's will for our lives. And we know that He has a will. We know that He cares about all of the things, all the little things in our life. And we just want to know what He wants us to do. But if we were to take a step back, if we were to look at the big picture and ask the question, what is God's will for my life? There is a very simple answer to that. David shows us the answer in verse 9, starting in verse 9. Look at it with me. He leads the humble and what is right, and teaches them His way. All the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep His covenant and decrees. Lord, for the sake of Your name, forgive my iniquity, for it is immense. Who is this person who fears the Lord? He will show him the way he should choose. Did you hear what it said? Early on it said, all the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep His covenant and decrees. In other words, we are supposed to obey God. That's what it means to keep His covenant and decrees. What's God's will for your life? Well, the answer is this. Obey God. If God says to do something in His word, guess what? Do it. God says not to do something in His word, don't do it. And yes, seek the answers for those fine particulars of your life. You seek what God wants for everything in your life, but when you don't get the answers to those questions, you can still know God's will. It is this: obey Him. That is God's will for your life. This is something that I have learned the hard way in my life. This is it. I want you to hear this. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. So when you don't have the specifics of every detail for every little decision or big decision you have to make, obey what God has plainly told you to do. And He has told you to do a lot. God has told you to spend time with Him, to pray to Him, to worship Him, to follow Him, to submit to Him. God has told you to forgive others, to love your neighbor, to live generously, to serve people. So when you feel lost, do these things. That's God's will. And as you obey him, you will find that your trust in God grows. Because when you are obeying God, he works things out for you. How can you trust God when you feel lost? Obey him. My college degree is in project management. And so I had class after class that taught me how to make this great plan and then execute the plan and manage every step along the way and bring everything to completion. Well, one of the assignments that I had in one of these classes was doing all of that, managing a project that dealt with military airplanes. What we were supposed to do is develop a plan to strip out military airplanes and then revamp them with the latest technology. And so that's what we had to do. That we had to come up with this plan for it. It was a project that would have cost literally hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars to complete. It would have taken years and years to actually do this. I mean, it was very complicated, very involved, very annoying when all I wanted to do was watch basketball. I didn't want that much homework. But that was the plan. And so I started working on this, and it was pretty difficult. Because something that big, something that expensive, something that massive can be very intimidating when you look at it. You look at it and go, there's no way that we can get this done. And so here is what my professor taught me. It's a valuable lesson that I learned. He would say, just do the next thing. Just do the next thing. If you're overwhelmed, if you feel like you're drowning because of how big this project is, just do the next thing. Just make that phone call. Just write that check. Just take that seat out of the airplane. Just run that wire. Just do the next thing. And some of you hear that and you go, Sean, yeah, I've learned that in my life. Just do the next thing. Yeah, well, I paid $50,000 in tuition, so I really learned it in college. Just do the next thing. When you feel lost, when you face a big decision and you don't know what to do, when you feel under attack and you don't know how to go forward, when you face sorrow and you are struggling to overcome it, when you are being crushed by guilt and can't get out from under it, just do the next thing. Just obey God. And look, it might not feel like you're making any progress. It might not feel like you're any less lost. It might not feel like anything is happening. But as you obey God, he builds trust in him in your heart. And God provides for those that obey him. So you will develop trust. As you experience his provision, your trust grows. How can you trust God when you feel lost? Obey him. That's the third and final step that we see here in this psalm. You are just like me. You know what it's like to feel lost. You know what it's like to not know the way forward. And it can be really hard to trust God when you feel that way. But you can do it. To trust God when you feel lost, wait on God. Remember God's love and obey God. And as you do these things, the Holy Spirit will work in your heart so that you trust God no matter how bad whatever it is you are facing. No matter how unclear the path is going forward, no matter how lost you feel right now, you will begin to trust God. So take these steps and grow in trust. But I know that you might hear that. You might go, well, Sean, thanks for the instruction, but there is no way that I can actually do these things. Trust me, I've tried. You know, I have tried to wait on God, but I always rush. I have tried to remember God's love, but I end up just thinking about my problems that I'm facing instead. I've tried to obey God, but I end up breaking his rules. So if that's what it takes to trust God, then I feel like I'll never actually do it. And you're right. If it takes perfection, then you will never trust God. So here's what you need to hear. If you really want to trust God when you feel lost, Look to Jesus. Look to the one who is perfect. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. So whatever you are facing today, whatever storm is in your life, whatever is making you feel lost, if you have faith in Jesus, then it does not compare to how lost you actually were before. You were made by God to be in a relationship with Him. But you know this, you ran from God and you were lost. But out of love for us, God sent His Son Jesus to give His life for our sin, to pay for the wrong that we have done, to seek and save us who were lost. And if you are in Jesus, you are found. If you are in Jesus, you will never be lost again. He is holding on to you with a grip that will not loosen. Though you may feel lost when things happen in your life, you are not actually lost. And though you may wander from God and feel lost, He has not lost you. And though you may struggle when these storms blow around you, He will not lose you. In fact, the Bible tells us that He has put His Holy Spirit in you so that you would never be lost again. You want to know how you can truly trust God when you feel lost? Look to Jesus, who has found you forever. But if you are here today and you have never trusted in Jesus, then you are more lost than you feel right now. That's because you are separated from God due to your sin. And there's nothing that you can do to make yourself unlost. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself found. But here is the good news. Here's the gospel. You can be found in Jesus. So come now to God and say, I know that I have run from you, but forgive me based on Jesus. Help me be found in Him. And if you trust Jesus in your heart, then your sins will be forgiven and you will be part of God's family forever. So make that decision today if you have not already. If you want to talk to someone about it, if you have questions about it, I'm going to be hanging around right down here after the service waiting to talk with you. But stop running. Come to Jesus today. Christian, when you feel lost this week, look to Jesus. He has found you, and He won't let you go. And as you look to Jesus, wait on God. Remember His love and obey Him, and you will find that you trust God more and more, even though you feel lost. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are so good to us. We have done nothing to earn this forgiveness that You have given us by grace in Jesus. We were lost because of our sin. Thank You that Jesus came to find us. So I pray right now, Lord, if there is someone in here who has not trusted in Jesus, who is still lost because of their sin, that they would see the joy of being found in Jesus. That they would ask for forgiveness of their sin right now. They would have faith in Jesus and they would be found in Him. Help us this week. As we struggle, as we wander, as we feel lost, help us to know that we are found in Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would obey You. We would remember Your love, that we would wait on You. Let this be for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.